Blog Talk Radio.
All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. And so the scriptures that I just read is out of the book of John, St. John, the first chapter. So John, that's the only gospel out of the four gospel writers where he gets right down to the word. The other ones talk about the ministry of John the Baptist or the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then Matthew gets into the genealogies, and also Luke eventually gets into the genealogies. But John gets right into the Word. So we thank you again for tuning in to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. And I am your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory. So we'd like to welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers, and also all of those who follow us on Instagram. Would be some of the same people that are Facebook friends and LinkedIn connections also that are on Instagram on both platforms. Some people are on multiple platforms, but it's so good to be here. It's of the Lord's mercies. We are not consumed because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. So great is thy faithfulness is what the writer Jeremiah says in the third chapter of Lamentations. So we are grateful and we are thankful to be here. And someone said, if you are above ground, you have options. So it's so good to be in the land of the living. So good to have another blessing to look into the perfect law of liberty, as James says. And so we want you to know, as we know, that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul writing to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, actually one of the churches that he started. It is one of his prison epistles. out of his, they call them the Pauline epistles. So we know he wrote most of the New Testament. So he always encouraged the believers, praying for them, letting them know who they were, how they were in a lofty position, how they were sitting in heavenly places in Christ, how he called them, by grace are you saved through faith, he said, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship. So it's a blessing to know what his word says. Like he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. This is the Lord Jesus Christ himself saying these words in St. John 5 and 39. So as I always like to say, I ask you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So that's what the gospel is all about. You know, it's the death. We know it's about the good news of about his death, his burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was on earth for 40 days speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. So he descended first into the lower part. He that descended, St. Paul says, the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So, and that's when he went on in Ephesians 4 and 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. So that's in Ephesians 4 chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. So we are so thankful. I'm glad that he brought me out, as Peter said, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so it's not just so good, and I'm not just so glad that I just want to keep it all to myself. But like what we used to do in the world, when we would smoke weed and we got the good stuff, we would tell somebody else about it. And so this is the real thing, not no Coca-Cola, not no Colombian gold and all this crazy stuff that we used to talk about back years ago. But this is the real thing, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so it is so important to receive the Holy Ghost. And not only that, St. Paul asked those disciples when he was passing through Corinth, and he came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples, and he asked them that question, what I just said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So there's a lot of people talking about the Lord, but they don't know the Lord. And so if Pharaoh asked that question, who is the Lord that I should obey him? So even it is as it is today, so many don't know him. And one of the oldest books in the Bible, the book of Job, Job 36 and 26, the writer says, behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither have the number of his years been searched out. And so that's why Paul said, that I may know him, when he wrote to the church in Philippians, the Philippi church, and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And that's, he went on to say, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So that's the most important thing. And you're not going to get up if you don't have the right stuff to get up, as we said. And that is the new birth, being born of water and of the Spirit. So water can be anywhere, but the Holy Ghost, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So there's too many people today not telling people about salvation, about being born again, about being born of water and of the Spirit. And, you know, some are explaining the Bible away, not letting men and women and boys and girls know that you must be born again and you're going to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives you to utter, just like they did in the book of Acts, is where salvation is. So he goes on here. He said unto them, what then were you baptized? They said, under John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So he goes on here, Luke, as he writes, because Luke wrote Luke, St. Luke, and he wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that's why in Acts 4 and 12, he says, neither, you know, talking about the stone which the builders rejected. And he went on to say, neither is there salvation in any other, but there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So that's when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So he goes on to say all the men were about 12. So they spake with tongues and prophesied, which means they preached after they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So it's imperative to receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins if you want to get up in the first resurrection. Because there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. So nobody in their right mind want to miss it. So many things that are going on. So that's why I'm endeavoring to go a little farther with this subject I have been talking about for the last two sessions. That is signs of the end time. Because I've been in here quite a while myself since the mid-70s. And so never have heard even people are taking calling themselves that they got the apostolic mantle, so they say. I mean, in the first place, nobody has the mantle in the New Testament. Elijah passed a mantle to Elisha. So we don't have a mantle in the New Testament, but God has sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the office of sonship. So the gospel is being preached, and that's what Paul told Timothy, to preach the word. So, you know, I've never seen such, and we're living in that time. Many of those that were my teachers, that taught me and were my mentors, they are asleep in Jesus. And so now we're living in that time, that perilous time shall come, as St. Paul told his son in the gospel, Timothy, that time has come right now. So we got all these folks that are, as one older preacher says, explaining the Bible away. So it's like I've just read Ephesians 4 and 5. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So there's only one gospel. There's four gospel writers. Everybody's talking just like Apostle Paul told, gave his testimony, that he said none other things than what Moses and the prophets and, you know, what they did right and what the psalms said concerning Jesus or concerning the coming of the Messiah. That is what is paramount. So not none of all of this other stuff, this is your season and all that. Yeah, it's your season, all right, to get right. Like they used to sing a song, get right with get right church and let's go home. And they used to say get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He will show you how down at the cross. So get yourself right so you can fly. Lay aside the sin, every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Hebrew writer goes on to say, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the same, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And he goes on to say, consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, So just like he said about us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, you know, as much as you see the day approaching. And he says, if we sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, which simply means he's not going to go back to the cross. He already died once. He offered up himself once in the end of the world. He put away sin, the Hebrew writer says, by the sacrifice of himself. He prepared himself a body. He is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So I'm thoroughly convinced. If you listen to people, some people don't know that he is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God, talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You know, just like I just read in St. John, the first chapter. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So a lot of people are talking about him, but they don't know him. So you have to know a person. You can't talk about a person if you don't. You can know of a person, but not know the person. You got to meet the person. You got to have a relationship with the person. Then you will know them. So a lot of people don't know. So as we get ready to go into this lesson, as I use my theme, my ongoing theme, the Godhead, a lot of people don't know. There's only one person in the Godhead, and the term is only used three times in the Bible. So the Only Believe series, part three, the end time signs. And so should you desire to call in, if you have a question, if you have a comment, you are welcome to call in. Truth Ministry, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. And so we are actually doing the live broadcast right now at the 5 p.m. Eastern Time hour on a Truth on Blog Talk Radio on May 1st, 2018. So we are grateful and we're thankful to be here. So before we get into the lesson, I have been saying for the last, about the last month or so, that I wanted to make sure that I give this information out. As many of you know, that I relocated from the state of Michigan back in December of 2016, I relocated from the state of Michigan to the state of Florida. And so I belong to an apostolic organization that is headquartered out of Indianapolis, Indiana, called the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. And so the church that I'm now attending is one of our sister churches in South Florida called Vision Worship Center. And it's located at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069. That is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069. So our pastor is Bishop Dr. Kevin Chandelou. Is the pastor. He is the founder and senior pastor. He is the bishop of Vision Worship Center. And so our worship services, on Sunday we have one worship service, which convenes at 9 a.m. every Sunday except for the first Sunday. The first Sunday of every month, our morning worship service will convene at 7 a.m., and then the rest of the month, all of our worship services will be at 9 a.m. So that is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the bishop, founder, and senior pastor. So you are welcome to attend our worship services. And also, every Tuesday, every first and third Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. is our Solution Studies. That's our Bible class. We call it Solution Studies. That's every first and third Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. And then every second and fourth Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. is our intercessory prayer. So should you be in the South Florida area, you are welcome to attend our worship services at Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, where Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the bishop, the founder, and the senior pastor. God bless you. So we're going to move on in our lesson on today. This is part three of our series, Signs of the End of the New Testament Church. So last time we talked about the signs of the end times. And actually, in reality, there's a lot to go. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 13th chapter of Mark, the 17th chapter of Luke, and also the 21st chapter of Luke, because John does not talk about the end times in his gospel. He just talks about in his epistles, he's talking about Antichrist going to come. It's already here, many Antichrists. And so he goes on to say, you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he's talking about believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false Christs have gone out into the world. And then he was saying, they went out from us. They were not of us. They had been of us. They would no doubt would have continued with us. They went out that they might be manifested. They were not all of us. So there are so many people out, and I preach in the Lord, just like Pastor Paul was saying. Some people, their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, who mind not earthly things. But we preach the Lord because we know, he's going to come and get his people out of here. And so these things has got to happen in the world. And so we're living, and so we have the signs. And so as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, and so that's what we have been dealing with on the prior part one and part two sessions that we've been dealing with, the days of Lot and the days of Noah. So we know there is violence, a sign of the end times, and then a prosperous time of the end time also. In the book of Luke, they sold, they planted, they built. And so he's talking about, in the days of Lot, the things that they did and they knew it not, till fire and brimstone from heaven came down on them and destroyed them all. So he says, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Then also in the book of Matthew, when he was talking about the signs of the times, actually that's a double reference prophecy in the 24th chapter of Matthew, because at Jerusalem they went on in and destroyed Jerusalem. General Titus, about 300 years, 300 A.D. or somewhere in there, they destroyed Jerusalem. So, and the temple was destroyed. And so, there's so much in history to be learned. But they destroyed it, and they said it was so much bloodshed. Because remember, they didn't have we have their weaponry. They didn't have firearms like we do, cannons and all that stuff like we do on the day. But they had swords, and I'm told there was so much bloodshed that the soldiers got sick. It was so much bloodshed. But what I wanted to say on last week, when I was making a mention about the days of Lot before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, I was talking about the intercession when Abraham began to intercede. I said in the 19th chapter of Genesis, but he actually began to intercede in the 18th chapter of Genesis. And then one thing is very paramount, and the Lord will always give a warning before destruction. And so I just wanted to clarify that. That's why I go back and listen to my broadcast so I can spring forward from off of what where I was, I can continue. Then if I need to make any corrections, I can do that because I'm pretty much the type of person I am. I don't have a script most of the time. So that's the way that my ministry is. And so he said, he asked a question. Abraham drew near. Remember those three men that came? One of the men was the Lord. He was talking about the promised seed, about Isaac being born, you know, about Sarah was going to have a son. And they both end up laughing. Sarah laughed. Abraham also fell down and laughed also, too, as you read on in the text. And then he goes on here, one of the men was the Lord. And that's why the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So that's a mystery. Those three men came. One of the men was the Lord. And I'll prove it as I go on. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. And so he drew near. So that means he entered and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? It's a question. And I just said that a few minutes ago. No, he always gives warning. So he went on to intercede and before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because the place was so wicked, just like the world is wicked today. And so anyway, Genesis 18 and 33, fly on from here because we want to get on into our lesson on the day. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So that's Genesis 18 and 33. I got a question. Where did he go when he went his way? So, I mean, God can appear in any form. And so I've said, if you follow truth ministry, sometimes the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament was literally God himself. So they were in a different order at that time. God has men and women who minister the word, who preach and teach the gospel. And so today we want to talk. We're talking about the last days, so we're continuing on. And so this is the signs of the end time before the New Testament church is going to be taken out of here. So just like I was saying about these false prophets and these people actually – it blows my mind when I think about it, because like I said, I got saved in 76. I mean, these people talking about they got the mantle and they're apostolic, and I mean, they don't even know what apostolic is, because people used to fight apostolics, because there's a group of people who everybody used to be apostolic in the New Testament church. Let's get that clear. When you follow the scriptures, the church began on the day of Pentecost. And so in the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus gives a parable about the sower. And, you know, we know the seed is the word. And he makes, he talks about when men slept, the enemy came in. So that's what happened. When the apostles fell asleep. That's why Paul was saying, after my department shall grievous wolves in, some of your own going to rise up and speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And so this is what we're seeing on today. I mean, never heard so many people. The Lord said. You know what the Lord said? He said what is written. So, I mean, you can't go wrong. You can say what he says out of his word. I never heard so many people saying the Lord said. And I mean, it's so funny. Now, even sometimes you're not in a place where you really understand some things that people are saying. And one thing that blows my mind, because I was married for a long time before my wife passed away, so now these people, it blows my mind when people keep saying, some people you never heard them say the Lord said anything to them, and now all of a sudden they're going around telling sisters the Lord said you my wife. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, you can hear him, and you can't hear him enough. You can't hear him say anything else, but you heard him say that. And I don't believe that. So, I mean, because you got to get to know people. You just don't walk up to somebody saying that to them. Relationships have to be built. Relationships take time. So that's, you know, and then people don't have the backbone. They're not courageous enough to tell people that. That is not the way it goes. It's still common sense. There has to be an attraction. There has to be a connection and all of that. You know, nobody just come up to you and, you know, and tell you that, or the Lord said you my wife, the Lord said you my husband. No, he didn't. That's out of their own heart. So, but anyway, we want to move on here. And so there's things are going to happen, just like I was saying. So these false prophets, and so everybody, it's, you know, they're telling people about this is your season, and if you do this and that, and they got a word. And I mean, so God's word, and so we never, like back, like I said, 30 years ago and plus, that you did not hear nobody talking about the prophetic. I mean, how are you going to be prophetic if you're not one of the prophetic writers? So just for instance, like I was saying on last time, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, Jonah, you know, a number of them, Habakkuk, they were the prophetic books. You can't, how are you going to be prophetic outside of being prophetic? So if you say what any of them say, like Isaiah, for instance, under us a child is born, under us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is a prophetic quote right there. Or to who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. You know, we should see him. There should no beauty we desire. You know, hey, he hath no form or no comeliness. We should see him. There should no beauty we desire. He was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. And he goes on to say, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That is a prophetic quote. Not this stuff these people saying in the New Testament church. He actually said, let the prophet speak by two or three, and that by chorus, and let the others judge. So, I mean, I think I don't understand why some of our leaders don't stand up and get this straight. Challenge these people, because everybody has a doctrine. That's what Paul had a time getting the Corinthian church in order. That's why he wrote, and he was saying, the things that I write unto you, they are the commandments of the Lord. And so God has an order. And so this foolishness that these people are coming up with today, so I'm not going with that. Like this one preacher, he's gone on to be with the Lord, was one of our great evangelists. He was saying one time some years ago that he went somewhere just to see how they were doing. You know, they were begging for money or whatever. This is what this foolishness started, like 25 or 30 years ago. You know, this so-called sowing a seed. And so anyway, they're talking about, I see caskets, this, that, and the other. So he said, somebody looked at him and said, they scared. He said, I'm not. So you got to know what the word says. Get away from me. So I'm not going to let nobody, especially I go somewhere, I don't know somebody, you know, I may be at a funeral or wherever. Somebody that I don't know, you're not going to lay hands on me. So you got to. And so that's not what Paul was saying when he told Timothy to lay hands on no man suddenly. In that particular, he was writing to a pastor. He was talking about ordination, laying hands for ordination. So you can't, I'm not going to get no impartation from somebody I don't even know, because I already have the Holy Ghost. So you can't add to me or take away. And that's what Apostle Paul was saying about the other apostles. He was saying they seem to be pillars when he was writing in the book of Galatians. You know, we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we preach, let them be accursed. And he said it again, and they taught us out of the Old Testament. That's prophetic. Whom shall he teach knowledge still? Whom shall he teach to understand doctrine, which is teaching? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Went on to say precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, and line upon line. You know, with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to this people saying, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. And he goes on to say, yet they would not hear. So that's actually literally talking about Israel. And so you got to be careful, because that's actually talking about the Holy Ghost stammering lips in another tongue when he speak to this people. This is the rest and this is refreshing. It's like what Jesus is talking about in St. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. And he went on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if we say what the word says, we won't get in trouble. So you're not, every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, 1 John the 4th chapter, 4 and 1, I believe, he said, you are Antichrist. And then, so John, like I said, he actually talks about false teachers and false Antichrist in his epistles. And so he say, he that knoweth God heareth us. Us who? Us the apostles. And so there were only 12 apostles, and that's another thing. That blows my mind. Because there's 24 elders when you read in the book of the Revelation. So actually, like they say, 12 representing the Old Testament, the prophets, the 12 apostles represent the New Testament church. And the names of the 12 foundations are the names of the 12 apostles. I got a question. Since it's only 12, all these other folks who are going, and they were men. He prayed for them. The Lord's Prayer, the 17th chapter of St. John, was the Lord's Prayer. Those other, in Luke and in Matthew, when they said, teach us to pray, and he was saying, when ye pray, pray after this manner, those were the model prayer. He didn't say repeat after me, but he said pray after this manner. So if we stay with the word, we won't get in trouble. So we go on here. We know that there are earthquakes. There's no coincidence that these things are happening, all these different movements. And so just like I said on last time about the Supreme Court, you know, it's 9 people in the Supreme Court, and then I think it was in 2016 when they passed the same-sex marriage. It was a 5-4. The same-sex marriage and 4 against it. So it was 5-4. So it won. It was passed by only one, because it's an uneven number, 5-4. So 5 were for it and 4 were against it. I know that sounds funny, 5-4, but it was passed. So now, like I said, that was one thing that I never thought I would ever see, because, and like I've mentioned on before, it's important, it's worth saying again, and that is, you never heard people wanting to marry, it's illegal. It would have been illegal. They would have told you years ago, it's illegal procedure. You cannot marry the same gender. You cannot marry a male if you're a male. You cannot marry a female if you are a female. You can't marry somebody that's not divorced. You can't marry somebody without a license. It would be illegal procedure. So God hasn't changed. And so that's, you know, he letting them have their meat. That's what Paul was saying when he wrote to in the book of Romans, you know, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So, you know, their own vain imaginations. So he's letting them have their own way, because that's what they want. They're going to have to pay for it. So it's so embarrassing, some of the things that are going on. You got a number of newscasters, men that are married to other men, a weatherman, a couple of news anchors. I mean, it's a shame before God. You know, but we know in the 16th chapter of Luke, he said, what's highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God, which means he hates it. So this is why we want to move on today. And so Paul wrote and to his son Timothy in the gospel, and 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, letting him know, this know also in the last days that perilous times shall come. So this is what we want to talk about on today. And so all of these things, it all goes together. And then not only that, to go back to the church, because, and then we know what happened, like when after Constantine had that vision, and then that was when the so-called Trinity, when Catholicism and all that stuff came into being to deceive people. And then so some people think that you are God yourself, which is foolish. They don't realize that there is a true and living God. There is an omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God. There is an eternal God who always was. Somebody said he's everywhere, here, now, there, God. He can leave you, come to you. He hasn't gone anywhere. He is the Emmanuel, which is a prophetic, which being interpreted is God with us, Isaiah 7 and 14. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. 33 years later, and he goes on to say, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so that is a prophetic right there. And so, I mean, sometimes, you know, things sound good, but we don't understand. I mean, just like this song that a group used to sing, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus, I learned to trust in God. Then in the song, they were talking about their trials come to make them strong. Well, that's not true. You take a test to show you where you are. You don't need a test to get strong or to be strong. He told us in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Just like Peter said, as it is written, be holy, be holy because I am holy. So that's not something, you can't be holy without the Holy Ghost. You can go through all them. That was the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were sad, you see. They looked the part, but you can't do it. You can fake it all you want, but you can't be holy without the Holy Ghost. And then it's not a look that you put on your face, you know, or you appear to be so spiritual. I mean, I've seen all that stuff down through the years. But it's having the Holy Ghost down on the inside and yielding to it. So you have common sense. You have manners. You ain't going around. It ain't the way you dressing or none of that. You know, you could look holy, as we say, and have an evil heart. Open your mouth and there ain't no law of kindness in your tongue. But your heart got to be right. And so you got to believe, only believe what the word says. So that's our endeavor. That's what we're trying to do, is to get people to believe the word. And so now we also understand here as we go on, he's talking about perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own self. So not only that, we talked about same-sex marriage, men and women. You know, somebody said homosexuals, male and female. So it's not, we're not bashing people. We're just simply giving information. The Lord says all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So we know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we know Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's weird. We know about sin and what sin will do. And so that's why we're endeavoring to help somebody else to get out, because you could. I was in it and I'm out, and you can make it too. That's why the psalmist said in the 40th Psalm, you know, how he waited patiently unto the Lord and he climbed unto him and heard his cry. And he went on to say, he brought me out of a horrible, horrible pit. And he set my feet on a rock. And he goes on to say, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. And so we know he came in the volume of the book. He made himself a body, and he came in the volume of the book. And he had to take on a body. And that's why the writer in Hebrews says, for as much then as the children are partakers of blood, he himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And then he was talking about how they, you know, all their lifetime they were subject to bondage. And he says, for verily he didn't take on him the nature of angels. He's talking about the Son of God. But he took on him the seed of Abraham, which means a human body. So he was a son. He made himself, he called himself a son. So that's why Mary in the book of Luke, Mary the mother of Jesus and John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, they had a conversation. So Mary and the angel Gabriel that stand in the presence of God went to Mary and told her that she was highly favored among women. And then Joseph was going to put her away. You read the story, you know, in Matthew and the other gospel writers who talk about the story of the virgin birth, you know, the annunciation of the conception of the infinity, you know, when God told him, you know. So anyway, he goes on to let her know. He says, "Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt come, call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." You know, talking about he was the son of the highest. So in the book of Luke, says Mary was saying, "How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man?" He went on to let her know the power of the highest is going to overshadow thee. He says, "Therefore that holy thing which shall be born in thee," Luke 1:35, "shall be called the Son of God." So a lot of people don't understand that. Ain't no two. There is no Trinity. God can never be confined. He can never be what he is not. When he gets done being whatever he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He's always God. He didn't stop being God because he became a man, but he's everywhere and every place. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. We don't even understand him. Just like I said, Job, in the book of Job, God is great and we know him not. And so we don't understand. He's eternal. He always was. He didn't make himself. Even Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so he is the light. He didn't make himself. He said, "Let there be, get out of the way and allow this thing to be." So this is why we preach. We say also that in the end times, along with these false prophets, these other events that are going on, they're talking about wars and rumors of wars. And I believe on last time we talked about the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, because you have to look at, there's three times. Now, we know people are possessed by devils, because actually, in reality, the word demon is just a word that's in the columns when they write. You know, that's not the word I'm looking for, but they're actually devils with a little d. And so we talked about that on before, about the mystery of iniquity. And Apostle Paul writes about that when he wrote, you know, and like I was saying, he hadn't called us to having appointed the church under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. So that's talking about the rapture of the church, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by word, spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. So he goes on to say, "Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So remember now when Jesus says, "I have chosen 12 of you, one of you is a devil." Remember he was saying, none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Because, I mean, we used to talk about that too. Could Judas be saved? No, he couldn't be saved. Because he was the son of perdition. He was the thief. So it was written of him. So the foreknowledge of God knew what he was going to do. So he goes on to say about the man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So remember I talked about on before, like the temple was torn down by General Titus. And so they ended up, like I said, it was so much bloodshed, the soldiers got sick. They ended up, they left that back wall. That's the wall that they left, the portion that they left. That's what they call the Wailing Wall, where they go and weep. And so they didn't believe him, you know, because the veil is on their heart, which veil is done away in Christ. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, he's talking about Moses. He had the veil on his face when he talked to the children of Israel, because when he came down, he didn't even realize he was shining. He went back to talk to him, talking about God. He took the veil off, and that Paul says, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Talking about Israel, the nation Israel, when they turn their heart to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, because the veil is done away in Christ. So Israel as a nation did not accept the Messiah. So anyway, he goes on here, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. So he says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, that word let means hinder, will let or will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Talking about the Holy Ghost, talking about the prayers of the saints, talking about the church. The devil can't really work till like he wants to work until the church is gone. And so he says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So he goes on here to say, for this cause shall God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So that's why he says, you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And when he wrote to the church in his epistles, he says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And he also said he's a propitiation for our sins. He's talking about the believers, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So he covered it all. So it behooves us. You want to get in. You want to walk right. Not saying sometimes you're going to have the wrong attitude. That's not right. You got to repent of that. So this is a repenting way. You got to repent. That was the first message of John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the first message of Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And so it's the same message. So that's why John was saying, I'm not him. I got to decrease that he may increase. That's why he was saying when John was baptizing, Jesus came to him to be baptized. He said, you coming to me to be baptized? I have need to be baptized of you, of thee, he told John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist told Jesus, rather. And then so Jesus told him to suffer it to be so. Thus it behooved us to fulfill all unrighteousness. And he suffered him. And, you know, he baptized Jesus, and he came up. And the heaven, the Holy Ghost descended like as a dove, and it sat on him. And he said, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. One writer says, upon you shall see the Spirit descending in John's gospel and remaining on him. The same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. In other words, he baptized himself. So that he said, you know, he should be made manifest unto Israel. So remember, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. John says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not to them that believe on his name, you know, or born of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's when he goes on to say, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John and them in that day, they said, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. And, you know, and John bare witness and cried, this is him whom I spake, who was before me, and he was before me. And he went on to say, of his fullness have we received grace for grace. And he goes on to say, you know, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so it is so very important to know that. And so in the last days, there's wars and rumors of wars. So when they shall have, say, peace and safety, Then sudden destruction. So that's actually when you read about the catching away of the bride of Christ, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, you know, talking about them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with you. We're not going to prevent them which are asleep, but, you know, he's going to bring them, the other words, the dead with him. And that's when he was saying, Lord himself, not Michael, the archangel, or Gabriel, or none of them, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So he goes on here. At the end of that quote, comfort one another with these words. And then in the next chapter, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And this next quote is so important. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not the night of the night nor of darkness. So he goes on, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So this is the next scripture is what so many people need to know. For God has not appointed us, he's talking about the church, under wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know our time is almost gone. So it's so important in the last times. Remember, in the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation, we're actually living in the Laodicean age, when he was saying, I wish you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm, I spew thee out of my mouth. So that is spewing. I ain't talking about just spitting. It's talking about with a force. It's talking about like a big water hose, just forcefully spewing out water, because people are cold and, you know, lukewarm. They're not hot or cold. That is the time that we are living in. And so he's given signs. There's earthquakes in diverse places, which means many places. So we got these kinds of things that are going on, and there's so much violence in the land. It's not going to get no better. And then, you know, and you hear the term. Every time a tragedy happens, they talk about getting back to normal. But after the church is gone, it's not going to be no getting back to normal. That's why Paul was talking about the resurrection. You know, sown is in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body is raised a spiritual body. And he goes on to say, sown in corruption is raised in corruption. It's sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And so he was talking about a sown a natural body is raised a spiritual body. When it's corruptible, it shall put on incorruptible. And it's corruptible, shall put on incorruption. Then he says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Christ. But the scriptures before that is what I wanted to talk about. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so suddenly, that's what he was saying in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when he was talking about at midnight he was going to come. So he's going to come and he's going to change the dead in Christ. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet them with the Lord in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that moment that he's talking about is before you can bat your eye. That's going to be the greatest miracle that ever happened up until now. So we thank God. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. As I say, I always say, have you the question I propose to you Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Talk to you on next time.